Ah, nothing better than a perfectly clean kitchen. But things always find a way to get a little messy. No point crying over spilt, well, anything. Hotpoint's new induction hob has a unique clean protect coating. Just wipe with water to clean. That's farewell food stains, adios halos, and ciao to harsh chemicals. Plus, it's 5 times more resistant to chipping. Finally, no extra protection needed. To learn more, visit hotpoint.co.uk. Hotpoint, your trusted partner at home. Claims against chipping are comparable to Hotpoint non-coated models. See website for details.
Oh, guano, which is scientist talk for shit. We saw bats, so you know what that means. We are excited because tonight we are going to talk about an actor that we love, Lou Diamond Phillips. LDP in a movie called Bats, a movie that has sequels, but with none of this cast. A movie that, you guessed it, is about bats. Honestly, that's all you really need to know. I guess a lot of bats. And maybe if we want to add to that, and bats that eat people. I mean, that's really the premise of the movie. Bats that eat people get loose in a town, and Lou Diamond Phillips has to save the day. Oh, and Lou Diamond Phillips is Southern. Okay, so movie came out in 1999. Which is interesting, because when you watch it, if I told you 1987, you'd be like, okay, sure. But tonight, we are going to break down this movie with my two co-hosts. Please welcome them to the stage, Mr. Jason Manzoukas!
Wait, there's four seats?
Four Ooh seats, Jason, la. Because tonight we do have a special guest.
Ooh how did this get?
How did this get made? All-star, if you will. But before we get... Before we get into that, I did want to ask you this. Were you surprised to find out, as much as I was, that this movie was released theatrically?
Okay. Yes, I am. Second, and forgive me if you included this earlier in your statements... Had never heard of this movie in my entire life.
Don't think that that's odd. I don't think that that's odd.
But here's the thing. I'm not sure why, because it was great.
We love
that. This movie was great. I was like, oh my God, give me this little town set piece forever. This should be a classic. Why don't we watch this like we watch Tremors? Fuck you.
I am on the same page here because...
Boy, I thought it was dynamite.
I love it. I mean, I love LDP.
I was like, they're in a mine now, and they're wearing spacesuits? This movie's got it all. Except for the bad guys are bats. You can't shoot bats with a handgun. Come
Jason,
on.
Jason, hold on.
Get him out here. Get him out here.
We will get him out here. Please welcome my other co-host, June Diane Raphael.
Thank you.
How are you, June?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. June, Dina Meyer, one of the stars of this movie.
Incredible.
Incredible. One of my co-stars in Piranha 3D.
Was she really?
She was just as awesome as you would expect, but she's afraid of bats. Are you afraid of bats?
Of course. I'm an American adult woman. Yes. Of course I am.
You. I wouldn't trust you if you weren't afraid of bats. I'd be like, ooh, that's a Russian spy.
If you'll remember, Paul, I did have an encounter with a bat a few years back.
Okay.
And I thought, oh God, it was so upsetting because I thought at first that, you know, one of my deceased relatives has been coming back as a hummingbird. And so I thought, oh my God, it was nighttime in Ojai. And I thought, oh my God, look at all those hummingbirds. I've never seen a roost of hummingbirds together like that.
All those hummingbirds on the roof of this cave.
And I was so excited. And when I realized they were bats, it was really upsetting.
I mean, they really are just night birds that carry disease.
And that's pollinate like that was, our jungles, which is something
Paul,
I learned, yes.
And that's what was so crazy about, about our zoologist, our scientist, Dina, because she never brought up the fact that bats have caused a lot of trouble.
Jimmy at one point says, should we get some garlic for this? Making the connection between the bats that vampires turn into. I think that Jimmy is a ghost in the movie. He's saying things all the time like, how come nobody asked me if I wanted to stay here?
And then
everybody's like, well, we got to go to the thing. As if, yeah, it's a shame. Jimmy died last couple hours ago. They ignore him like
they did
crazy.
Not include him in one conversation.
What if we just... Oh, it's true.
Jimmy entertains himself. Now, I don't want to get too far into it because we do have a special guest tonight.
Let's do the whole show before the guest comes out.
Our special guest tonight is a film, a TV, an amazing actor, a writer, but also the person who introduced us to a little-known L.A. Tour, the Jason Statham Tour. Please welcome Ike Barinholtz!
Thank you.
Ike, welcome back. It's been far too long.
Too long. I wore my Statham shirt.
Love it.
My favorite.
Sail it free and easy. We cannot get started. We cannot.
I feel like I would have watched a Jason Statham movie in preparation.
Where do you fall in the bats world? Did you know about bats? Have you seen bats?
The movie. No.
He did. I will say this. Backstage, Ike did say to me, now, are we going to watch the movie out there?
I was terrified that we were going to watch the whole movie again.
He's like, that was like 4 minutes ago.
I'm not afraid of bats. I have no experience with them, except for the time that a giant, I was unloading some stolen goods and a man dressed like a bat beat up me and my co-worker.
This guy has been getting a lot. I mean, he's cleaning
he's
up the city, but he's also, I mean, what's up with him? He seems a little weird, this guy,
he's
right?
He's dressed like a bat. I swear to God, boss.
I don't know if I would associate. After seeing the bats
in
this
movie.
Are you
a goon for the Falcone family? What's going on?
Mr. Falcone, I swear to God, he looks exactly like a bat. I don't know what to tell you.
Mr. Cobblepot, you got to understand.
All I have to say is this.
We're just going to do Batman bits instead.
When I see Batman, I would not think of the bats that I see in this movie. Like, no, bats are terrifying. These bats with their little fingers climbing in. Like, the daintiness of their legs and fingers in this movie freaked me out.
I will say, like, in the same way that, like, 28 Days Later introduced us to fast zombies, This movie introduced us to jacked bats.
They were all jacked.
Jacked bats, and they're like, all like...
ripped. They all had insane shoulders. Also, I'll tell you a little Hollywood secret, industry secret. When you see a bat in a movie, it's jacked, it's steroids.
They are the secret.
Taking trenbolone, HGH, doing a full cycle.
We never heard the full thing that this scientist did. He's like, oh no, I just injected them with steroids. I made them angry and very strong.
They can hit a 500-foot home run.
There were times that the bat faces looked like French bulldogs.
Yes!
I was like...
I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
Yeah, I think some props guy in Alhambra was just taping a bat body to a bunch of Frenchie puppies.
My dog Petunia can be in this movie. My dog Petunia is really good. He's shoving them into a bat costume.
But so Paul, here's what I don't understand,
yes,
actually.
Please.
And I didn't love this movie the way that you two love this movie.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
I don't know. Did I really like it? Yes.
Okay. But I could not understand what the purpose of injecting these bats with these steroids was. I know they were becoming weapons, but here's my question. The really big bats, the really big ones?
The jacked bats.
It seemed like there were like two of those.
Yes, there were only two.
Okay.
Those are
two main
that
bats.
Those are the two hero bats that escaped.
Okay, so they're like number one and two on the call sheet.
Who escaped? Yes. They escaped a prison.
So those two bats escaped to prison, but will the rest of the bats that we know and love become those bats?
Yes.
Eventually?
We saw that moment where they do the computer analysis of, in 6 weeks, they'll be in New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Paul,
and in 1 year, it will be the entire thing.
One year, New York for the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
They'll make it to Coachella.
They got a very big social
candidate. Glastonbury, Mr. President.
They're stuck in the mud at Burning Man.
Eventually,
was anybody here at Burning Man stuck in the mud? Raise your hand.
This is a nightmare.
Of course not.
Yeah. Good.
Of course not.
Good.
But here's the thing.
I love that a Hot Biscuit Made crowd is like, what? Of course not.
Yeah. They listen to podcasts. They don't go to Burning Man. But... So all of the little bats, though, are still, like, murderous bats.
Yes. But they don't have okay. the enhancements, I believe.
Wait, are you saying that those two bats are just controlling the other bats
yes.
to attack, but the other bats also are killers as well?
That's what I thought.
Think they've got the fever, but I don't think they've been given the enhancements.
I thought that it was just passed on to them by like biting,
by the two escapees.
They said at one point, the good news. Wait, we have good news.
Right.
Only other bats can get this.
Right.
Yes.
So there is a threat there. I did like when they took the tracker and they put it on that bat, and then the other two bats instantly murked it. Proving that even in nature, snitches get stitches.
There's also, by the way, an incredible set piece where they arrive at a school and fully to an opera soundtrack, A-team montage the whole school. And at the end of the montage, they're like, we have to go to the mine. Goodbye.
They're
Goodbye,
so,
school.
But there's
pointless.
So
well, it zeros out the whole
Jason,
last 5
there's
minutes.
So many, there's so many things in this movie like that. So in the mine, they are the big plan to kill these bats is to get a giant cooler, like a giant air conditioner down there. But they have to go and just turn it on.
It's already there. Great news. It's already there.
Why not turn it on before you've dropped it in?
Well, because they wanted to get it in deep enough. They didn't want to scare the bats out. So you're saying
the sound of it on would have scared them?
Air conditioners and bats are like people moving in T-Rexes. So if an air conditioner is on, they're going to get freaked out. But if you
just lower it slowly,
they are, what's up? Nothing. I don't see anything.
Here's another question. You know they're in the mine. Why not just close off all the entrances?
Okay, well, this brings up a problem that I have, too. So, and I guess the, I think I'm going to answer my own question, is that they had to turn on the refrigeration unit. Because I was like, what's the difference between blowing up the dynamite at the top of the mine and the bombs that the airplanes would have dropped on it anyway? Like, truly.
They needed to turn the machine on and get out and blow the door before anything
back. Okay, so that is okay. I guess that's it. Yeah.
The movie makes sense, guys. Chill.
Sorry.
I will say this. The opening sequence, we're about to see this young man and girl. They're in the car.
He's about to pin her. It was very 1955.
Yes. Very, like, it felt like, oh, this is a small town unaffected by 1999 culture. This is a year before 2000.
It was like the opening of Thriller.
Yeah.
That reveal, but this, when I looked up and saw that it was 1999, I truly was like, 92. This felt very early 90s. Yes. This is giving me big Twister vibes, this movie.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what spawned this movie. Like,
right.
What was successful a couple years before?
Because Arachnophobia had
91,
already been out early.
Like, that's 8 years before that.
I feel like this was in a time of, like, Lake Placid. Like, big,
interesting,
big scary things. Anaconda.
With
like
an
that.
Outbreak sphere kicker.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. It's like, okay.
But
yeah.
This also, like, I mean it, Twister, because this also had, like, big, like POV from the bats, from the sky, from the, like,
but
a real...
when that POV of the bat comes on, I'm like, this movie looks like shit. Like, it's a weird lens. Like,
different lens. Yeah. I did look at the end of the cold open. They're like, they're letting you know these aren't just bats. These are Texas bats, which means they're armed and deny women health coverage.
They are.
Well, that's what that means. In case you're wondering.
All those bats were wearing those shirts that say "back off" or "I'm a fucking big dog." They all have big dog shirts on.
All the bats are like, we want private power. We don't want the government to give us power.
But here's this movie does make certain choices that were honestly very compelling. Like the mayor, for example.
Yep.
I would like to watch an entire movie about. I was so obsessed with her.
She's incredible.
She deserves her own, like, prestige drama, eight episodes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If this movie was about something that wasn't bats, it would be, I'm not kidding, it would be a classic because the set pieces are a blast, but every time they cut to, like, the threat, it's laughable. Because they are. It's just those jacked bats.
It's a bunch
who,
of...
who are, like, wherever our leads are, the jacked bats like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppet Show are perched somewhere above like,
It's just a bunch of jacked Texas bats. Dude, so many bats have moved from L.A. to Texas.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to pay taxes, and they have a big stand-up
career
there.
You see Joe Rogan interviewing that bat last week?
You know, and that bat is not an expert, but he asked some good questions. I thought that bat asked
some good questions. So you're awake at night, but you're asleep during the day. That is so fucking wild.
Here's the thing. Bats love cigars.
Jamie, pull up the clip of that bat, the man bat. Have you heard about this man bat?
I thought he was interesting. It was interesting when he was like, hey, bat, have you heard about the pyramids? And that all of the gold had to have come from outer space?
You heard about this, right? Jamie, pull up that video.
let me just...
This show brought to you by YouTube Shorts.
What I love about this movie is it does have a lot of elements, to your point of, like, what was it based on? And Jurassic Park feels like part of it because it's like, I feel like there was an era where it was like, we're going to chopper to a scientist somewhere. It's like, we never see that part, but like we'll fly to them. They're never driving to those scientists. Like, that helicopter lands.
That's a $4 million trip. Just a chopper, two CDC scientists. To a remote site to get a bat expert.
And there's just five of them. Like, the most of the movie, there's your friend, Dina Meyer.
Yeah, Dina Meyer.
Who's fantastic
from Starship Troopers.
This.
She's great.
She's great.
Leon.
Oh, Leon.
Incredible.
Who I remember from
the Madonna,
like
from the Madonna
video.
Yep.
Remember that?
Of course.
He was legit hilarious, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Every line he had, like remember early on, he's like, man, I hate bats. And she's like, why do you do this job? He's like, I want to have sex with you. I'm into you. Like, he's like super horny. Everyone's horny in this
movie. It was funny because every now and then his jokes undercut plot, and then they had to like walk it back. It's like, You can't say, I know nothing about bats, and then later go, Mom, I made this mock-up of how the bats got.
I've been working on this for years, he says.
He's like the computer guy doing all that stuff. And he's like, yes, afraid of bats. Dina Meyer, at the very beginning of the movie, very boldly says, I will kill no bat.
Yeah.
Then I think proceeds to kill thousands of bats.
When she says, we have to annihilate them. Like, it's said with such, like, wow. Like, that's she's really...
That's what's great. The gravitas moments of this movie, it's a great comparison to Jurassic Park because those moments land when it's T-Rex and dinosaurs. But when those guys come out in the helicopter and she says, what's going on? And they say, bats, Dr. Casper. It's bats. What are we doing? We can't do that.
Here's what I wanted.
Oh, you have it?
I'll pull it up. Was like, jinx.
I really wanted to see the why she loved bats so much. I never felt like I could quite get behind it.
Her monologue.
She has a story, but I wish it had been a flashback.
It should have been a flashback, and I guess I didn't find it satisfying.
I will finance that flashback.
I did feel like, there were points where she seemed to be able to connect to the sonar of the bats and the call.
Yes.
And I thought, is she part bat? Is she...
Her mother was a bat.
Or she got bit by a bat.
I don't...
Like a connection.
Nothing about the way she performed, because I do like her performance, but the story is flawed. It's like, I was a child...
Wait,
are
you're
sure
telling
about
me,
that?
Paul,
sure
you're
about
telling
that,
me
Dreamer?
The story of bats.
No.
What?
No. Her story of why she likes bats, because she's like, I was a child and I was fucking scared of a bat. And my dad's like, I'm gonna make you hold one. That felt like more traumatic to me. And then I held it and it was so delicate and I loved it. And it's like, and then my dad said, it's not that bad. It pollinates the forest. And she's like, okay, that's my profession. Like, it was a quick jump from.
And I have to say, I mean, I've never held a bat. Don't want to. Won't. But I'm like, there's no way that you held a bat and felt any sort of maternal affection towards it.
Yes!
Maybe you would be like, oh, okay, I'm not as scared anymore. But you wouldn't be like, oh.
I got to take care of these guys.
I guess.
Yeah.
I hesitate to tell the story again, but I will. My stepfather captured possums. And
here we go.
And for Halloween, would put them on our doorstep, so kids coming to trick or treat would be really freaked out by these possums trying to get out of their cages. And
Paul,
yeah,
I know that for me, when I grew up, we would put up Halloween decorations.
Yeah. And they might
be out there for a couple of weeks. Was the possum in a cage on your porch for weeks?
Until Thanksgiving?
Just.
It's time to take the possum in. It's Thanksgiving.
Now put up the Christmas possum.
I mean, 13 years in and we've never heard this? What is it?
We used to catch possums in this like trap that would keep them alive, and my stepfather thought, well, this is the greatest time to use all these traps. We laid them all around the front door, so kids would walk up to our front door, and then all these cages were rattling with live possums in them.
June, has Paul at all asked if he can do this at your house?
So here's what's interesting. I'd never really been into like Halloween decor. And I have noticed, Paul, I'll say it right here, right now, that every year we are bringing more attractions into our Halloween experience at
our home. When I found this thing that you can drill into a tree that's a face and arms, I'm going to fucking buy that.
Yes, yeah, so I don't know where we end up, you know.
Do I have a clown that when you walk by him, he's activated and steam shoots out of his mouth? Yes. Have I freaked out the mailman? Yes. These things happen. I mean, it's
you guys
fun.
Have a P.O. box now because the Postal Service will not deliver to you.
They don't want to be breathed on by a clown crawling out of our garden.
The third carrier had a heart attack in a week. We have to end this.
No, but it was always like, I didn't think of it as weird, but the possums, watching the possums in the trap reminded me of these creatures. Like, it's
Well, those were real animals suffering.
It was a no-kill trap. Oh. It was a no-kill trap.
Sure, sure.
We would then pile the traps in the car and then drive out far away and release them.
Into a lake. We would release them into a river.
I also thought, like, talking about, like, Dina Meyer telling the story about her dad making her touch a bat, then it also felt like Lou Diamond Phillips had a fucked up childhood, too, because he's like, blood moon. My mom always told me when a blood moon happens, someone gets killed. Like,
that was crazy.
Your mom told you that?
He was also in that scene. It was really mid to late 90s where the coolest and hottest thing a man could do was suck on a cigar. You know what I mean? He's got a cigar like four times in the movie. It's like, oh, you think he's cool now? Watch him suck on this 6-inch turd. Fucking, you're going to fall in love, Dina Meyer. Very, very 1998 energy.
I loved that cigars. He was like, loved opera. I believe brought his own opera album to the
school. I had that
school?
Question, it's, too.
The album
which
is
like,
not there.
Was it in the car with him?
So that's very important to him. Never comes up again. And he basically is like, please don't tell the guys downtown that I listen to the opera.
Also, I will say, like, I think moments before they go into the school and they start the A-team montage, there was the guy from Shawshank, who's like the bad guy. And then there's his deputy, who's a great actor named Carlos Chakotay. He was Ramon the pool boy from Seinfeld. Yeah. He gets killed by the bats. And, like, they... Like 10 seconds later, Lou Diamond Phillips makes a joke and Dina Meyer's like, and then they're into the montage. It was like, it was like this man just died. He was a colleague of yours. Can someone call his family?
Not
maybe?
Even. Not it's
oh,
not.
Hey, Carlos is dead. Yeah, Bats got him.
They didn't even cover him up because he gets killed at night. And then all of a sudden there's a photographer like, it's like, hey, cover this man. He is, his throat is slit.
You got to figure that the Bats killed 300 people that night.
But the thing is, in the attacks, it seemed to me that they would kill one person and then all leave. Like, they're like, all right, we killed the one person for tonight. Yeah. Let's go.
The bats, this does give me Jaws 3 vibes in that it seems to be that the bats are seeking revenge. And that is something I wish I wasn't saying to the crowd, but it is. The bats appear, the two main bats who escaped the lab appear to only want to kill the doctor, the professor.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And I don't know seems if that's to be like, true.
Well, they killed the two teens.
I don't know.
They killed the two teens, right? The two teens.
They killed the two teens, but once the professor's there, they're going after him.
And he's like, they want me. Yeah. I can control them.
It's hard because they were killing so many other people before and after, to be quite honest.
To be fair, some of those people were horny so bad.
Well, they deserve to die.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Everyone, Lou Diamond Phillips, LDP, very horny in this film, constantly making like jokes to Dina Meyer. Like,
this reminds me of fishnets.
Why
is that joke told twice?
I don't know.
Because it's great? Because it's a great joke?
Because... It, like they realize, the theater will be laughing so hard that we need to hit it again for the. I
Also, I gotta say again, the two-thirds of this movie, when all this is going on, there's five of them. The minute the CDC showed up, they should have been like, "Fucking call Washington, get Bill Clinton." Well, like, where's Bill Clinton?
But to your point, I just realized when June, you were saying,
I wish this movie had the line of dialogue, "Where's Bill Clinton?"
I promise
it would
you,
have solved so much. Where's Bill
if
Clinton?
If there was a scene with Bill Clinton where Bill Clinton, like, and it's the act, Bill Clinton playing himself was in this movie, and he has to give, like, a press conference where he's like, we will not let this country be torn apart by bats. I feel your bats.
I would have even settled for John Travolta as Bill Clinton from Primary Colors.
Yeah.
But there is a moment where you just said it, June, and I just realized it. Lou Diamond Phillips isn't even the sheriff of this town. The sheriff.
He is.
Well, then who's the sheriff?
She's the mayor.
Oh, the mayor.
She's the mayor.
She's the sheriff.
So that woman is the mayor who gets cut by the bat on her
cheek. She's the sheriff. Yeah. He's the mayor. Two shows that I grew up with.
Well, here's the interesting thing about how the bats attack, because there are times where, again, I do still have some questions about the difference between the radioactive bats and the regular bats, but the regular bats seem to be able to kill someone very quickly just by biting their necks.
Sure does seem that way, yeah.
It sure does seem that way.
And overwhelming people with, like, bats.
Well, and that I can understand. Like, a swarm of anything, honestly, anything.
What's a group of bats called? I kept writing a flock of bats, and I was like, that can't be right, because that's seagulls, just like Jonathan Livingston. But do we know what's
a roost, right? Is it a roost?
Is it a roost of bats?
Is it a roost of bats?
Let's see.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm going to say a
murder. A murder of crows.
That's crows.
A colony?
Colony.
My man, right there.
Tim, wow. Give it up for Tim, everybody.
Tim knows everything.
Right there, Tim. Wait, right?
Tim knows everything. Wow. Yeah, it's Tim.
Well done, Tim.
Well, okay, so let's hear the, like, we can watch a doctor here describe what these bats are, because I think they're, I'm agreeing with June. I think all these bats were gotten something. Here's here, this is my favorite scene in the whole movie, actually.
Tell me, Dr. McCabe, what exactly did you do to them?
I'm sorry, but again, I'm not allowed to say.
Now that's bullshit. Those things are killing people in my town, and as far as I can tell, you're directly responsible for that.
We need to know what we're dealing with here, Doctor.
I'm kind of curious myself now that you mention it.
Ghost. Ghost. Nobody heard him.
All right. I'll tell you then. You let me know how I do. You've somehow increased their natural intelligence.
Yes.
Here's my favorite part.
He's in a Sixth Sense movie. Leon is.
When this is the best moment to say that he's dead. Here we go. Or I'm going to rewind it one more. Here we go. Oh, wait. I'll go. She, by the way, puts this together too quickly.
You let me know how I do. You've somehow increased their natural intelligence.
Yes. And their ability to work together communally.
Well, that's not so bad.
Right?
You could all use a little dose of that.
Then you made them aggressive.
Ghost.
Ignore. Now, bad. Ignore.
Finally, you made them carnivores.
No, Dr. Casper. I made them omnivorous. Put my bats anywhere in the world and they will feed.
But why would you do that?
Because I'm a scientist. That's what we do. We make everything a little better. Bigger livestock, better crop yields.
Millions of years of evolution. What arrogance to think that you could do better.
Apparently I have, Dr. Casper.
How does more bats give you better crop yield?
I love that moment, though, because he goes, we made them work together. Go, that's good. Then they kill people. That's bad. Yeah. Like you needed someone to be like, just in case the audience isn't following it. Yeah, some things are good and some things are bad, but you'll be the voice of the audience there.
It's such a thing. They also knew they had this big reveal of they've weaponized the bats for the Department of Defense.
And they really wait to say that they're turning them into weapons when that's clearly
it's clearly what's happening. They clearly had nothing in the scene. He goes, crop yields.
That's like, that why would they need to be able to kill people for crop yields? But they also like set up stuff that you don't see pay off. Like that scientist is in his dark... Not laboratory, police department.
I'm sorry, can we talk about the lighting in the lab for a second?
All blue.
Holy fucking shit. This is a laboratory. You need lights. The lights in the lab are off.
Yeah.
There is magic hour sunlight shooting through the windows into the floor, and then he's looking at a sample with a tiny light. It's
there's
like,
also
the fuck?
The diner is also, seems to be as if the power has gone
out.
Yes. And the... emergency lights have turned on, and they're like, well, this is what we're doing.
Every place in town looks like they have no power, and then they reveal power in a crazy way. Like, the kid playing a video game. Oh, no, we're fully loaded, but the town is dark. Like, it is comically dark.
I feel like they destroyed a real town for this movie, which is kind of
cool.
So. I think that's kind of cool.
Some of those, like, those set pieces with big car crashes and explosions, I was like, this looks good.
Yeah.
I thought that the scientist, I thought he was in his hotel room.
Wait, That when he's looking through the microscope?
Yeah.
Because, well, this is how...
Well, he's traveling. Like he doesn't live there permanently.
Do you mean in the school? Because he also does look when they're in the school...
No, the lab.
The school is definitely the lab.
It does look like... I could see him being like, all right, I'm on my way. I'm at my Embassy Suites right now, but I'll be on the way in a moment.
I could have sworn I saw a bed in that room.
Well, sometimes the cops work so hard that they just, you know, they get on a nap, too. There is a moment that I love in this movie. It's going to be hard to explain, but I'll try. Where it starts off on the pool boy from Seinfeld, who's great, and he's on the phone, and the camera pans off of him, and it goes onto the scientist who's looking in the microscope. But in a normal movie, they would be like, yes, well, I'm right here. And then that voice would kind of trickle out, and we'd just be focused on music and the guy in the lab. But while he's looking, they keep his volume up. The guy in the movie's like, well, yeah, no, she's very nice. I don't think so. Well, we'll probably meet them up later. Well, they don't need to know anything. Yeah, I'm sure.
This movie does.
Oh, I think a pizza. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I like them, but I don't love them.
Like a salad too, maybe. Okay.
This movie does a lot of that, wherein like somebody will be deeply foregrounded in an extreme close-up, big face, bad guy, and then right to the side will be all three other cast members, like 13 feet away in the deep background. And it's like, the movie is visually, in a way, very interesting for what it is, because they're trying to do something. But a lot of times I was like, what is going on? This feels like kids being like, let's make a movie.
That scene I think we were just talking about when they're in the lab, I remember being like, how much fucking longer is in this movie? And I looked at the counter and only 17 minutes had gone by.
Listen, like,
when
the military called and said that they were sending in the air troopers or whatever they were in 62 minutes, I was like, oh no.
By the way,
that moment
where you see the F-16 scrambling, the funniest shit, so clearly from a different film. Like, I imagine the director said to the line producer early on, hey, I would love, if possible, if we can get a couple shots of F-16 scrambling.
They're like, you know what? We just did Iron Eagle. We can get it.
You're right.
Great.
It's Iron Eagle 2.
It's Iron Eagle 2.
Yes.
Is it? That's what it is?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I just thought it was a random, like, Department of Defense industrial film from, like, 1982.
It is literally,
which is
like,
basically what Iron Eagle is. But he did not get that, and it looks like it's a different film.
It's different film stock. It's shockingly different. And that's the weird thing about the movie is, like, they also do the giant massacre, like the end of the movie massacre, right in the middle. It's like, well, we're not gonna top this. 300 people killed in the town. Right, it's like now it's gonna become like a room drama, like just
so fascinated by this mayor, because she did tell everybody to get inside. And they
evacuate.
And by the way, that's also Texas.
It's Texas. Friday night football. You don't mess with that.
That's also Texas.
I don't care if I'm gonna get eaten by a bat. I'm gonna watch my gigantic grandson.
And honestly, it
develop CTE.
It was 17. I could not believe they didn't show what I would have paid to see that woman, that mayor, go around and somehow get the word out that the bats are here. I would pay very good money to see that scene.
I guarantee you this town is full of anti-batsers.
Here is my theory.
Don't applaud that. That was a litmus test. You failed. Don't.
My theory is this. This movie, the term bats is just stupid. Like, hearing bats too much, it's like, it just is stupid. I don't know. And so Avril cut together a montage of the amount of times that people say the word bats.
Wow.
Bats. Bats.
Bats, Sheriff. I work with bats.
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 Bats. Bats must be infecting other bats with the virus.
Bats. Bats.
Bats. Bats can only infect other bats.
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 Our bats infect other bats, and those newly infected bats.
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 Oh, wow.
Incredible stuff.
I would have loved
it. I think this is what must have happened. I think that initially they might have thought like, well, we'll just, the bats are bats and they'll be killer bats. And that'll be really scary to see all those bats as killer bats. But then they must have shot some of those bats and thought like, oh, this doesn't work at all. And then they made just two crazy looking pterodactyls. Because the bats.
Two like proper puppets.
Puppets, yeah. Because that's what was so tough about the movie. I kept on thinking to myself, this is a movie about bats. This is a movie about bats.
Wait, but you needed to remind yourself?
I did, actually. Because what I was seeing.
What we just saw.
Because what I was seeing bore no resemblance to a bat.
Yeah, no, right, they were definitely right. The same puppets they use for like Ghoulies.
It felt like little demons of some sort.
Yes.
You know?
Munchies. And it felt like Munchies.
It felt like Munchies. Yeah. The other really weird puppet to me was the baby puppet.
Oh, that was the baby from American Sniper. I don't know if you guys knew that, when it goes in the crib.
I was so upset by the way that baby looked. And I know that the movie wanted me to feel nervous about the baby. And I wanted to, but I was like, that baby is scaring me more than that bat.
It was very upsetting. It was almost as upsetting as, again, great actor, but Carlos Jacot's haircut. Yeah. They were like, so you're a CDC scientist. We're going to make you look like Ringo Starr in 1960 fucking age.
You are in Herman's Hermits. Good news. Okay. You're in a Herman's Hermits cover band.
Your character name is Peter Noon.
Your bangs need to be lower. Cover all your eyes. You should look like an old school cartoon character.
By the way, though, they gave him a really heroic moment. I mean, man sacrificed his life.
He did. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
Trying to save, and Dina Meyer, who is in this and is, I can't remember, what's her name? Sheila is her first name, but Dr. Carter, is it?
Dr. Casper.
And nobody is calling her Dr. Casper in this movie. Everybody's like, hey, Sheila, get over here. And they're meanwhile talking to, like, the bad guy is like, Dr. What's his name? He's like, the bad guy. Yo. No. She's Dr.
Warden Norton from Shawshank. There was a lot of outbreak vibes. In fact, because this movie is only available, I believe, on Freevee, which has ads, I kept toggling over to other tabs to watch clips on YouTube during the ads. And I went down a outbreak wormhole, and then I went through a JT Walsh wormhole.
The best.
Amazing actor. And then that got me in a Sling Blade wormhole. And I found out, I watched a video called 5 Reasons Why John Ritter Didn't Like Sling Blade.
Whoa.
And
which has to be truthful.
The videos on YouTube are always right. They're always the truth. The first reason was he didn't like his haircut. But then the movie had started, so I had to toggle over. And I didn't watch the last 4. It's not a great story, but it happened.
But I like that he's so upset. I mean, I like it.
For $2.99, I rented the movie and didn't look back.
For $14.99, I bought it because I knew I was going to have to watch it on multiple devices, and I was right.
Yeah. Well, it is good. When you watch a movie, you want to watch it the way the filmmaker intended. Like, I went to Hollywood Boulevard to the IMAX to see Oppenheimer.
70-millimeter print.
I watched this on a broken iPad on a toilet. And it was, like, perfect.
Yeah. This movie, written by John Logan.
Right. So I was going to bring this up. John Logan wrote Skyfall, Rango, The Aviator, Great Gladiator, writer. Alien Covenant, Spectre, Hugo, Sweeney Todd, Last Samurai, Any Given Sunday.
Did he write this movie when he was like a little boy?
He wrote this movie on a dare.
What is wild about this movie, it's one of his first credits, but this movie was produced in just 5 months. One of the fastest produced 35-millimeter feature films from script to screen to receive a wide release.
What's so crazy is it seems as though they spent so much time on it.
they got the script and hired the director in May. Production began in June and July. They shot for 36 days. They edited, including 250 visual effects, scored and mixed in August and September.
They cast 3,000 bats.
And they released it on 2,540 screens in October. So from May to October.
That is fast.
Really thought this was going to be big. Like to release it that wide, like that, they must have thought this. We're sitting on a.
We gotta hurry up, guys. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like they need to get out for Halloween. This is a Halloween movie.
I guess you're right.
But I will say, there are moments that creep me out. The movie is not like incredibly bloody, but that moment when all the bats are on the car
yes.
was disgusting, really disgusting. And weird. And yeah. it was like,
I gotta say too, I love when the bat's coming through and she grabs the cigarette lighter.
I love that.
And that's a joke you couldn't do anymore because of cancel culture.
Oh.
Can you pull up that clip of bats?
I feel great. To talk to the audience. Is this when you want your spotlight?
Let me ask you a question, Bat. What do you think about all this cancel culture? Do you guys deal with that in the bat world? Because in here, it's fucking crazy.
There was another moment I was genuinely creeped out where one of the real big bats, the killer bats, like tapped on someone's shoulder, like a human shoulder. Like,
yeah.
It was really...
Well, that's it.
Very unnerving.
The tiny fingers and hands of the bats are so weird. Like when that bat is just crawling up the tailpipe, like ching, it's like John McClane in Die Hard, just like.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Yes, we are watching a movie where our heroes are human people who are trying to survive this bat nightmare, a la Birds or something like that. But boy, the movie should be about the bats. Who escape a torture lab where they then are able to exact revenge on their torturer. Their story is the heroic one here. I want to watch only the story of these bats. Maybe they link up with Amy from Congo.
That's the movie. That's the team-up movie. By the way, I just want to shout out Jimmy one more time because Jimmy says a line that I wrote down that I love. He goes, he wrote, "Bravo," like they say in the opera. Like, I don't know if you needed to comma that. Like, just bravo would have worked. But then I was like, oh, is that a dig on Lee Diamond Phillips? Okay, sure. But it also felt like he was just doing these jokes for himself.
Yeah.
Again, I think he might be a ghost. So,
can I tell you what was my favorite line in this movie? I'll do my imitation of Lou Diamond Phillips saying it. So when they're in the cave in the space suits in the mine, whatever the fuck, he goes, "Wait a minute. If there's this much guano in here, oh, Jesus Christ."
By the way, they are in a
so
river.
Much.
Of shit.
A river.
Like up to their kneecaps.
These are a river.
Up to their
chest. And we did see the amount of bats that were in that roost. And I have a lot of questions about their digestive systems because like that is still
Luckily,
so
Tim is here
much,
to answer
Tim.
All of those questions.
Do God, bats just have so diarrhea? Much?
All the time. Only diarrhea.
Blah.
Man, remember between Ace Ventura and this movie, guano was so hot. Guano was it. It had a moment.
And one of the bats is able to unlock Lou Diamond Phillips' space helmet.
He takes his helmet off.
And it's not as if he's being swarmed by bats and it pops off. A single bat is like, well, here's the line or the oxygen line or whatever, and then pops the helmet right off. And Lou Diamond Phillips is then bitten by the bat and then walks through guano. This guy is dead.
He's dead. He's dead, folks.
He's got guano in all of those wounds.
When the bat's on him and she shoots the bat and then there's like a little explosion and you get the blue lightning bolts that you used to see in 90s movies. It just made me think, it made me appreciate James Cameron's blue lightning bolts.
Sure.
And again, I imagine the director being like, I want top of the line blue lightning bolts. I want the James Cameron. And they were like, yeah, for sure. And then like a week into shooting, the line producer's like, hey, we couldn't do that. We have the guy who did the fucking Garbage Pail Kids movie. He's going to do the blue lightning. And the director's like, fine. I got bigger problems than that.
And we do have the costume for Alligator if we need it for anything at all.
By the way,
I laughed so hard. There were a couple moments in that final sequence that really got me good. When that one bat woke up and was like,
yeah.
I laughed so hard. And then when our heroes are racing out of the mine those bats on all of them are flying after them, but just sort of paced right behind them.
They never catch up.
And I'm like,
even
but
in
you're
the elevator,
flying.
When they get in the elevator and the bats are just right below
just,
them.
Just right
and also,
there.
And also, we've all been in a room with a bat. They're the fastest things on earth.
Well, that's why flying. When Lou Diamond Phillips takes out his gun in a car, like, what the fuck are you gonna do? You're gonna kill Dina Meyer. You're gonna kill yourself.
It's crazy
Absolutely. How
much people are shooting bats with handguns.
With revolvers. with fucking revolvers.
I understand.
Oh no, I'm out.
Shotguns, I understand. That's a very wide spread. But for people to be like, bam, bam, bam. Dina Meyer is a doctor of batology. She's like, boom, 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 boom. Like,
but they're also missing a lot. I'm like, early on, I'm like, you're in Texas. Go to any child's birthday party and get an AK-47. It's there. Machine guns. That's what's going to kill these things. Not a fucking six shooter, Annie Oakley.
Let's go to
everybody,
the crowd.
Everybody's given an AR-15.
All right, let's see what we have in the crowd. We have a hand raised right over here. Okay, what do we got here, sir? Your name, your question.
Pete. My main question is to talk about the necklace and the idea that she had a necklace, and I forget why it was, but then to put it around the guy that the scientist who saved her, but he just got eaten by the bats. And I know it had something to do with the bats, but
it was a good luck. She goes, this is an ancient Chinese symbol that gave her good luck because bats in Chinese culture are a good omen.
Yes, but they killed him.
Yeah. Like, right.
Fuck you. The necklace was
both not a talisman that protected her, and it was a form of mockery by putting it on him.
I gotta say, too, I must have, like, been watching, like, a Kitchen Nightmares clip with my other tab, because I have no memory of a necklace in this film, so.
Well, it wasn't as much a necklace as it was, like, a choker. You know, it was like a piece of black fabric and a...
Well, every man wants to have a choker put on him as he's dying. Looks so cool.
She choked him out. Okay, yes. Your name... Oh, I love your shirt. Your name and your question. I'll hold
the mic. What's the shirt?
It's Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Oh, nice.
So, to answer June's question...
What's your name?
Too much pressure. My name's Matt. Hi.
Thank you, Matt.
To answer June's question from the beginning, the two jacked bats were like Indonesian fox bats or something. And those were the ones that he did science on. And they had
So a you're virus. Saying, Matt, you're saying that's their normal size?
They are large.
I guess, but their virus infected the other regular bats. But my question is, when they're doing the montage and boarding up the school, he's like, hey, I contacted the bats, they're coming to get you, and I'm gonna rule them and stuff.
I forgot about that.
How did he do that, Matt? The bats. Matt, do you know how he did that?
That I think he used a bat phone.
Can you show Matt out?
Thank you for your service, sir.
Can Matt be shown out, please?
He definitely had some bat communicator, because I think earlier in the movie, when the Jeep is being attacked, all their eyes turn red, and they're like, "Foom, we're out of here." I think he hit it. By the way, can I just point out some sort of controller,
or there was going to be some reveal that he was able to communicate with, control, or something, but I never felt like it was laid out for us. Go ahead, sorry.
I just want to point out an amazing costume here in the crowd. We have two costumes here. Yeah, look at these costumes. Some bat costumes. God. Amazing.
Very scary.
Oh, you can do all right. Well, let's do it. Let's see. Yeah.
Try to keep it interesting. Okay, one. So flying foxes are fruit bats. They're adorable when they eat bananas. They look like little flying like dogs. They're super cute puppies. He calls them like the ugliest thing in the world. Two, there's a bridge in Austin that's completely been taken over by bats and is now protected by, and I think the bat scientist Merlin Tuttle was the one who kind of got that all underway.
What do you mean completely taken over by bats?
They are...
I've actually seen this.
Avoid the bridge. I do have a good tip for you, though. So bats also are one of the primary... They may be the primary pollinator for... agave, so if you like tequila, bats.
I thank them for all they do. I don't want to interact with them.
They eat insects. We thank bats for their service.
Yes.
Whenever I'm in a first class seat and I see a bat, I give him my seat.
Let me be clear.
And I sit and coach. Let me be clear.
I love bats. American bats.
American bats.
Not these Indonesian flying foxes.
Wow.
Yeah. I do love bats. This is all just stuff I.
This is all the stuff that she had. She loves bats. It can't beat that. Amazing.
Wow. Fantastic. So great.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And an amazing bat costume. Thank you for both your knowledge and your commitment to the costume.
Yes.
Okay. Your name and your question.
Hi, I'm Ethan. And my question is, how did a bat know how to take apart a car? Which they do to the police van.
Well, because all bats, they have to learn how to survive. That was part of it.
When they were in the lab, the cages were lined with Car and Driver magazine. And depends on the bat. They can read.
I will say, the doctor does say a number of the bats were on an AP track, and some of the bats, though, were on a vocational track.
Do you guys drive cars? Are you guys driving cars? I heard these bats are driving cars. That's wild. Jamie, show me that video of that monkey driving a bicycle.
Elon says the bats are going to be driving these cars.
Oh, yeah, bats are epic. I love my bats. I love bats.
All right, your name and your question.
My name's Evelyn, and I want to go back to the necklace because if you know what the necklace means, it's even more cruel and strange that she leaves it on his dead body. So bat in Chinese is bianfu, and fu means blessing. So her necklace was actually a symbol of the five blessings, which are 1, health, 2, wealth, 3, long life, 4, love of virtue, and 5, peaceful death by natural causes.
Oh my God.
Incredible stuff. Holy shit.
Wow.
Wait, was that Evelyn? Was that?
Yes.
Amazing.
Give it up for Evelyn. Wow. That was incredible.
Wow.
Now, obviously, we have opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
The bats are engineered a massacre unfold. Then we see those puppet bats, and we've all been trolled. When the pets attack, Gallup was aware. Go to Florida next. I wanna send you there. Don't mess with Texas or their gunpowder. But these are bats. You know that they don't care. I see their wings. It's like an angel sighing. Texas took our choice. Women have no voice. Patriarchy. The movie's wild. Oh God, I give it 5 stars on Amazon. All of the stars. Hear the bat screech.
Oh man!
That was amazing!
Wow!
That was amazing!
What's your name? Jen!
Jen!
Amazing!
Give it up for Jen! You guys ready for this?
I thought I was setting up Jen. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give Jen a break. I won't have her follow the duet. Now I'm like, oh man.
Good fucking luck, boys!
She knew. I should have listened. All right, here we go,
guys. Which Madonna song will you guys be doing?
So, I'm Mark.
Connor.
And now it's time for second opinions.
If you ain't watching bats, get the fuck out of Largo. If you ain't a wildlife zoologist with a specialty Kira Pratchett, get the fuck out of Largo. If you ain't waist deep in guano, get the fuck out of Largo.
Bats, 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 everybody!
Bats, 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 everybody!
Second opinions on the rocks, and I'm ready for some
bats!
Paul calls Amazon every time I'm watching
bats!
The reviews hit 5 stars every time I give them
bats!
So cups in the air, everybody, let's watch
bats!
Yes! Give it up!
Yes!
Wow.
Please.
Great job.
All slapping.
Just escort them out.
Oh, my gosh.
Escort them out.
Escort them out.
Just, you guys keep walking straight through the door.
All right. So there are 672.
I feel like the bats version of shots could chart.
Probably could. There are 672 total reviews. 67% are 5-star reviews. Let's get into it.
Are a lot of the reviewers, their last name Diamond Phillips? And Diamond Phillips.
I will go on record and say, I thought LDP crushed it.
He fucking crushed it.
Just crushed
LDP, it. LDP always
LDP
crushes.
LDP and Dina Meyer were absolutely, everybody was great. And most of the time, there's really only 4 people on screen for
yes.
the most. For I'm going to say 85% of the movie, there's 4 people.
Which
on
is
screen.
Crazy. LDP, we need an LDP renaissance.
LDP, LDP brought his own cigars.
He brought his own cigars
and
for sure.
improvised the majority of his dialogue.
Thank God. Thank God.
That what you said checks out because there's a scene early on when he's in the truck with her where the scene is only like 12 seconds long, but he says, 5 times. In like 12 seconds. So yeah, him riffing that, I buy that.
Yeah, I can improvise. I got it. Yeah, I got it.
I loved when Jimmy said the line about this place is as tight as the Alamo, and he goes, man, it's maybe not the best. Maybe not the best comparison. I felt like they all had chemistry.
Even with Jimmy,
the ghost.
I mean, even Jimmy says, Houston, we have a problem.
I feel like a lot of the movie was improvised.
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to be working off these bats. You got to say something. All right. D3 Mighty Ducks wrote this review.
Wait, a movie reviewed another movie?
D3 Mighty Ducks is the username.
Imagine identifying so much with that that you beat them to the identifying moniker.
D3 writes, this is a good watch, ... Better to have it playing on than the background. It's nothing special. Yet, it's special to me. 5 starts for something that did a lot in 90 minutes. 5 stars. Bats. I just want to go there again. This is a good watch, ... Better to have playing on in the background.
5 stars.
It's nothing special, ... Yet special to me.
I feel like if the person was allowed to go on, they'd be like, it's terrible, but to me, it's a collect. You know, like, it really is.
I mean, it's okay. It's no Mighty Ducks 3.
And then this one is written by Humble Opinion. This is one of my favorite movies. I am into the sci-fi aspect of the bats. The fact that this is possible, that this could happen. And I really like Lou Diamond Phillips. The picture shows DNA experimentation and combines it with some comedic responses. This has got to be one of the all-time best ooh and yuck movies that doesn't involve sex or human-on-human violence and mutilation. For old-fashioned Bats Gone Wild flick, this is the greatest.
Old-fashioned Bats Gone Wild? I bought those DVDs.
I had them all. I bought all the Bats Gone Wild.
Old-fashioned yeah. Bats Gone Wild.
This bat in Panama Beach shows you all 8 titties.
The ooh and yuck is so funny. And then goes, the acting is good, but I have to say Leon for contributing actor, which is a term I've never heard before,
David Zaslav created that term.
Pencils down, Ike.
The acting is good, but I have to say that Liam, for a contributing actor, is the best. A guy that works with bats, hates bats, and finds humor in the situations he can't beat. 5 stars. Lou Diamond Phillip rocks. And of course, the bats aren't bad either.
Holy shit. And
then this one, I'll just end on this one from Anthony Wilkins, who writes, we got many bats out here in Hervey Bay. Nothing out of the usual. Good film, though. You might have noticed I have some strange tastes. 5 stars.
It's so interesting because listening...
Who does this guy think he is?
Listen, listening to these Amazon 5-star reviews, like, it's so crazy to hear their screen names, but honestly, it's even crazier when they just write their names in.
Yeah.
Like, that's so scary.
They're like, also, people need to know
who
what I
am
think.
And what I think
I
about.
I feel like that guy has a million reviews, and he doesn't watch anything. He's just like, oh, yeah, this lawnmower is pretty good. I'm not really a lawnmower guy. I'm kind of into other stuff. You know what I mean?
You're more
he's
of
just
a,
trying to meet people.
More of a lawnmower man.
He's trying to get some follow-up questions going.
We met at the Amazon Marketplace. He was reviewing a scrub daddy, and I was in the market for a new kind of sponge, and I just liked his humor. It was fun. I will read the occasional third opinion, and this one was really good from Michelle Verenzi.
Why did you look at us and do that?
Because your name is
like
Michelle Verenzi.
Who
right?
It is.
Because June said that she's most weirded out with them and says their full name.
I thought June knew Michelle.
Oh, sorry.
And
this one is from
Michelle Verenzi.
June, your college roommate, Michelle Verenzi.
So Michelle gives it 1 star and writes this. Bats are not monsters, and they should not be portrayed as such.
Hang on.
Wait,
are you Michelle?
Is Batgirl? Batgirl?
Ma'am, are you Michelle?
Bat lady.
Is your name Michelle Verenzi, yes or no?
So that is, those are some second opinions. Man, oh man, bats and bats and bats. This was, I mean, I recommend this movie. I thought this
yes.
movie was very fun in the way that we've watched a lot of bad movies, but there's something sure. joyful about this movie. I feel like everyone was in on the joke.
Yes, and plus I feel like every 10 to 15 minutes, the movie would become a different movie. Which, so it's constantly being like, well, what about one of these? Do you want it to be
yeah.
Assault on Precinct 13 with bats? It can be for about 15 minutes. It's like, it's a bunch of different kinds of movies.
I'm just excited to know that when I do die, hopefully...
Which is so soon.
It could be tomorrow morning, it could be in 50 years, but as I am dying, and I'm saying goodbye to my family, I know I'm going to look at them and go, bats, 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 everybody.
It's so hard. You know, I have become so mentally deranged from this podcast that I genuinely don't know what's what anymore. So yeah, I guess watch this movie. I don't even know what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, compared to a lot of the other movies we're forced to watch, this
yeah,
was
I guess watch
genuinely
this.
Very fun. I thought it
this was out of this is my third time on this podcast. Yeah. This was by far the best movie.
Oh, that's a nice
yeah,
review.
It has the most solid core. Yeah. I mean, it did come out in 1999 where the top movies were Star Wars Episode I, Phantom Menace, The Sixth Sense, and Austin Powers. This did actually beat the movie Jack Frost, where Michael Keaton is no dad. Yes.
Where the kid says to him, Dad, you're the man. He says, no, I'm the snowman.
That's right.
I remember that.
And it also beat the Sarah Michelle.
And Ike, another character, says, Snow Dad is better than no dad.
It's always true. Always true.
I will just comment that in the movie, during the, I will say, epic small town set piece where the whole town gets destroyed, Nosferatu is playing at the movie
yes.
theater. Which I very much enjoyed.
Hey, have you noticed that at no point is there more than like 9 people in a shot together?
No.
They had like no budget for extras.
Zero.
Crazy.
Crazy.
It is crazy. When we talk about John Logan too, He was a playwright in Chicago for 10 years before writing his first screenplay on spec, which was Any Given Sunday, which was released the same year as Bats.
Wow.
And he was nominated for the Oscars in 2001, the year, like 2 years after this, for Gladiator, then a couple years after that for Aviator, and then a couple years after that for Hugo.
Fuck. Well, you know what happened is he probably sold Any Given Sunday.
Yes.
And they're like, this is great. What else,
what else you got?
And he's like, nothing. I mean, unless you like Bats.
I will say this. There was a sequel. Lou Diamond Phillips and Dina Meyer had 5-year contracts with Dimension Films, Destination Films, in case of a possible sequel. The contracts expired in 2004, and Bats 2, Human Harvest, began production in 2006. And much to the dismay of the director of Bats 2, who didn't want to spend money on CGI, he found out that all the puppets were missing.
What?
Yeah, I'm so into it. Plus, we got all the puppets in the first movie, so this would be great.
All right, day one. Here we go. All right, so Lou Diamond, what do I call you? LDP. You're going to walk in, Dina. You're going to walk up here. And where, how far away are those bats? Are they flying in?
We don't got the bats.
You don't have the bats? Everyone go home.
At what point in post do you feel like they were like, I think we need to make all the bats sound like the Predator? Because there is a point where the bats start to be like...
Yeah, I, at a certain point, because I watched it with subtitles on, obviously, and I think I saw the phrase bats cooing.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
That is like, it's increasing throughout the movie. The bats, it's like, the movie wants to be Jaws, the movie wants to be all of these things, but the bats are so tiny and so insignificant that they have to make them jacked and give them like a very threatening chitter that they can be like.
But I will say hats off to this movie because they hats do kill off. That final bat. They don't give you a sequel possibility. They kill it.
They run
and
over.
I like it. Good.
Loved it.
Done. He's
yeah.
over.
We did it. We solved the movie.
Because once you kill one bat, that's they're it. All dead. They're we all know. There's certainly not a bunch more underneath him.
Give it up, Frank Barinholtz, ladies and gentlemen. June Day and Raphael, Jason Manzoukas. What a show. A big thank you to Ike Barinholtz. And guess what, people? We love doing live shows. We love doing live shows so much that we have put together a very quick impromptu tour in just a couple of weeks. That's right. On October 18th, we are going to be in Portland, Maine. Then on the 19th, we're going to be in Providence, Rhode Island. Then on the 20th, New Haven, Connecticut. And then on the 21st, we are wrapping it up at BAM in Brooklyn. Movies have just been announced. Go to hdtgm.com for more info. And guess what? We're going to do it again in November. We're going to be in Chicago on November 8th and 9th. And then we're going to go to Minneapolis for November 10th and 11th. I cannot wait to get back out on the road. Come on out, see us. And guess what? People, if you're in LA, let me tell you about a show that is going to blow your mind. It's called the Give Bacula Spectacular. It's happening at the Orpheum Theater on October 25th. I'm going to give you a special code right now. You buy one ticket, you get one for half off, which means two tickets are going to run you about $75. And listen to this show. Jason Alexander, Halle Berry, Jack Black, Rachel Bloom, LeVar Burton, Nicole Byer, Drew Carey, Bryan Cranston, Monet Exchange, Little Dicky, Lindsay Doherty, Simon Helberg, Janelle James, The Band Lawrence, Michael McKeon, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, I'm Not Done, Ray Romano, June Diane Raphael, Sam Richardson, Andrea Savage, myself, Dax Shepard, Lily Tomlin, Jeremy Allen White. People, this is a giant show. It's music, it's comedy, it's games. And I'm giving you a special way to get tickets if you use the code SOLIDARITY. Just go to Ticketmaster, look at the Give Bacula Spectacular at the Orpheum Theater on October 25th, 2023. It's for charity. We are raising money for crew and IATSE and PAs, all these people who cannot make unemployment benefits because of the AMPTP work stoppage. I want you there.
Come out, let's have a great night. I mean, that's a lot of show. You heard those names. All right, so check us out. It's all for charity. It's a good, good thing. Now, Jason, do you have anything you want to plug?
I do, Paul. I would like to plug something. Even though we're in this period where we're not plugging much and we're not supporting a lot of stuff that is struck, I would like to promote something that I think is a wonderful, incredible opportunity for people who are in New York. There's a music festival that I've talked about here on the podcast before. It's called Ragas Live. Tickets are available at ragaslive.com. It is an incredible 24-hour music festival that is all Indian classical music and other music from around the world, all at Pioneer Works in Brooklyn, an incredible venue, incredible lineup of musicians, really like bananas level stuff. Go to the website, come check out good music. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. ragaslive.com.
And as always, make sure you hit up our TeePublic store. That's right, at teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM. And you know what? If you have a correction or omission from this episode, let us know. Go to our Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM or leave me a voicemail at 619-PAULASK. Then make sure to tune in next week to our Last Looks episode to hear what you had to say about bats. I'll respond to your message. Jason and I will also break down some new listener-submitted How Did This Get Made themes. Plus, there's a bonus scene that I am so excited to play for you because it was really fun. It was hard to cut, but we had to. And you know what? That's why you tune into Last Looks for deleted scenes. Remember, you can find us everywhere online at HDTGM, or you could even check out our website at HDTGM.com. You'll find out all tickets, information, where we're touring, all that sort of good stuff. And if you love the show, tell your friends, because word of mouth really helps. And it's a lot more fun watching these bad movies with a buddy. And last but not least, I got to say thank you to all the listeners who support this show every week, who come out to see us live, and our entire behind-the-scenes team who keeps this show running. I am talking about our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineers, Casey Hulford, and Rich Garcia, our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, who makes those amazing social media videos. That's all I got, people. We'll see you next week on Last Looks. Until then, bye for now.
Ah, nothing better than a perfectly clean kitchen. But things always find a way to get a little messy. No point crying over spilt, well, anything. Hotpoint's new induction hob has a unique clean protect coating. Just wipe with water to clean. That's farewell food stains, adios halos, and ciao to harsh chemicals. Plus, it's 5 times more resistant to chipping. Finally, no extra protection needed. To learn more, visit hotpoint.co.uk. Hotpoint, your trusted partner at home. Claims against chipping are comparable to Hotpoint non-coated models. See website for details.